obviously your most famous time at Motherwell was Helicopter Sunday.
The infamous day, which I've already, today, five times been heckled about.
Oh, really? So is it constant?
Every day, every day. Well, I took the wife out this morning. She's looking for... Oh, she's looking to spend my money again, as usual. We're looking at trying to get some new furniture, and obviously every furniture store you've got, it's either, especially in Glasgow, it's either one or the other, isn't it? Uh-huh. So you're getting the best day and you're getting the worst day every day. So it's, it can be quite challenging at times for me personally to deal with a situation, because you, no matter what the individual says, you have to stand there and just go,
there's nothing you can say.
And that's it. I can't really say yes or no or whatever, you know. It's sort of, it's a defining moment in my career that, as much as because of my loyalties and where they lie and who I played for, that if they hadn't have been defined in that day, I'm not sure if I actually would have had the opportunity to have gone and progressed to where I got to in the first place. So I have to be thankful for that, but at the same time, I was only doing my job, and that was to do the best for me and the best for, obviously, my football club at the time, who I was employed to, and that was Motherwell. And obviously, it was a memorable day. And more than anything, actually, that I don't really like talking about it, but...
But you will for us.
Yeah, I will for you. I will for you, sir. But the goal I actually scored that day was an unbelievable goal. It sort of gets sort of missed out a little bit how good that goal was in terms of, my back's facing goal. It's come to me, I've just reacted. It's one of those instinctive moments where it's Richie Foran's hit an absolute shank shot and smashed his volley into the ground. It's just hit my chest. And it's just one of them where you just, boom, you just hook it. And I don't think, you could have put two Rabs in there, Rab Douglas's in there that day. There's no way he was saving it. It was just an unbelievable finish. But you go into a kind of state of shock a little bit. People say, well, why did you celebrate? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? To be honest with you, I don't know what the fuck I was doing. I really don't. It was one of those moments where you're like, holy shit, this is unbelievable. And you knew it was a massive stage, though. So, and I love massive stages, which has been proven, I think, over the course of my career. And that was another moment. And you were just buzzing about the goal you'd scored and the situation. And you knew that you'd pretty much arrived at that moment because of what you'd done. It was going to create, obviously, media attention. And obviously, as a young player, that's what you want, and for good and for bad reasons on that day, Neil, you know. But I kind of thought I was shit myself after the game.
So once you got back to the dressing room, you sat down, did you start to shit yourself?
Oh, yeah. I had obviously, all the boys, it's funny because you have the divides, don't you? As we all well know, you know, within the changing rooms, you have one half Rangers, one half Celtic, and there's good pattern, good banter. You get the odd occasional Peter Head fan or whatever, you know. But majority are either one half or the other. So that you've got half of the changing room jumping for joy, and you've got the other half sort of, what's going on? Uh-huh. And Jerry Britton still says to this day, if he had to cut it back to me anyway, that second one, which he should have, I would have fucking missed it anyway. You know, even though he was shouting, raging, you know, at me, you know, for the second one. But my luck was in that day, obviously. But I remember being in the changing room itself, towel over the head, obviously almost like pretty much in tears. Like just, it was just more the panic had set in about, holy shit, what's gonna fucking happen here? Well, I'm gonna get done in here. Someone's gonna come to my front door or throw a brick through my house. It was just all those things come through your brain at the time. But it was one certain individual who pulled me out of it, and it was Phil O'Donnell. You know, and it meant a lot because obviously he'd played for the football club at Celtic, and he was like, do you know what? You can't sit here and be all upset. You know, this is your moment. This is our moment. You know, you play for this club. Don't be so stupid. Get the fuck up and get on with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, from that perspective, you know, you had him and we had Gordon Marshall, who was ex-Celtic as well. You know, that sort of helped me at that moment as well, you know, to think, oh, well, you know, it'll be all right. Till I got outside again and then I seen my father-in-law and then it was a complete disaster again.
Him and Big Terry were dancing together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Big Jim Hamilton as well was on Terry's back from what I remember. But, yeah, after I had to actually catch a flight down to Southampton because I was going to meet my now wife, but her father and all her family and relatives are Scottish as well and they're all massive Celtic fans, so... That was a hard one. He was at one end of the plane and I was at the other, and he just
giving you fingers like
pretty
that.
Pretty much, he couldn't even put words together, mate. He was like just like,
wow.
He was almost in tears. It was just like, I was like, oh shit, what have I done?
Moment,
yeah. I don't think he really wanted me staying at his house that night either. he had no choice. But yeah, it's kind of one of them where we don't quite mention it within the household anymore, you know.
Well, you're in my night, mate. I had a booth at the Savoy booked.
Ended up, that's still open.
Ended up drinking a can of Kestrel with Jos Fahan, telling him everything was going to be all right.
Everything's going to be okay.
So after that, there was a interest for Rangers, wasn't there? I think they got a bid knocked back.
Yeah, I think it was in the January of that year. Yeah, it was in the January of that year. They had a bid knocked back. I just remember getting a phone call about it, and it's a bit surreal because you never think at that moment. My goal at that point in time was realistically possibly get back down to England in the Championship. You know, that would be a good step next to maybe then try and progress. But then when obviously you get the likes of an old firm like Rangers coming in for you, you're like, whoa, holy smokes, this is amazing. And obviously, irregardless where your loyalties lie at that point and at that time, and pretty much after that infamous day, you're not thinking that
Celtic are
going to come in for you anyway. So you're thinking, fuck, this might be the one chance that you get as well. It's an opportunity to possibly win things, win titles, trophies, play in Europe, progress as a footballer, and obviously there's more money involved, which comes with it. But to be honest with you, I'm not really looking at that side of it. That at that moment in time, you're just looking about, obviously from a football, you know, football side of it, that this is amazing. This is what an opportunity it is. But as it went down, Motherwell had other ideas, and you know, rightly so for the football club, but they had to look after their own interests. We just lost Richie Foran. He went to Southend. So between me and him, I think we were top scorers at a football club. So to lose both your top scorers would have been pretty hard on the football club, and we only managed just to stay up that season as well. So probably rightly so for obviously Motherwell itself, but for me personally, it was quite gutting. I think and you're young as well. You kind of come out, and I think I'd said a couple of pieces in the media as well about how disappointed I was not to be able to go and this and that, but still continue to do my job. And then obviously because you do that as well, you get your head down. Then the next one comes in, which you're probably going to ask me about.
So when they did come in, Celtic, did that play on your mind, the goals? Was there a thought?
No, not
at all.
I don't know why. I just always had people love to hate me anyway, but I actually thrive off that more than anything. And you love proving people all the doubt was all wrong. So it was another chance, an opportunity, and it just gives you more. It makes you work even harder, those doubts and people disliking you, because for me, Celtic was always my club anyway. So as soon as Gordon had phoned me up and talked to me, and it was kind of weird because like it all kicked off in around about March time. It wasn't like an end of season thing. And obviously the transfer windows are there at that point as well, January to June or whatever. But then all this stuff kicks off. And obviously they were both playing games with each other, Celtic and Rangers. So, you know, Gordon and Celtic more or less said, right, well, this is it. You either got to say yes or forget it, because we're not playing games. You know, we're not going to go against each other, this and that. And I was like, well, don't need to worry. Let's just get it done then. So it was like, and it upset Motherwell at the time as well, because they were like, oh, where's his head going to be, this and that. But they managed to agree a deal between them. And I still remember Mo arguing with me, going, you're not fucking going there today. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because you're not fucking signing that. I was like, I am signing that. I'm going there today. Well, you're not fucking playing tomorrow. Because it was like middle of March and we had a 6-pointer against Dunfermline. I was like, I'm going to Celtic Park, mate. There's nothing stopping me from signing this contract or this agreement. I'm off. I'm going. So thankfully, in the end, I get allowed to go, and everything was forgiven the next day, because I managed to score two, and I think we won 2-0. So all was forgotten and brushed under the carpet with me and Mo at the time. But look, to say that I was difficult at times would be an understatement, especially when I was a lot younger. Like I said, I've always been very single-minded at that point and what I wanted and what I wanted to achieve. And when the chance came with Celtic and even Gordon, you know, I remember speaking to Gordon for a period, and obviously he had released me from...
So did that come in as well?
Not really from my perspective, because it's showing for me personally, like, for a manager to come back, because not many would.
No.
Let's get that right. Mm-hmm. A lot of managers wouldn't come back to a player that they've previously had history with or released. So I think from an egotistical point of view, it was a big thing for me, like, you know, Gordon doing that,
mm-hmm.
Or being able to go, right, well, you're good enough for me. He gave me his reasons why. He thought now was the time as well. And obviously you're not really listening to them. You're just like, right, can I just sign the contract now? You know what I mean? But, you know, he was sort of like, you've matured, you've grown up, you look after your teammates, you have more awareness around you. It's not just about yourself. I think you're ready. We've been watching you for over a year, so we'd like to sign you. I was like, well, let's just get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. And obviously, don't get me wrong, you go in and you know yourself, you were there at the time. There was a lot of big hitters
uh-huh.
at the club at that point.
How did you find that going in again?
Do you know what? It was kind of weird because I'd never come. It actually annoyed me as well, I suppose, because I had signed at the time, and we had just signed Scott Brown like for like $4.5 million. We'd signed Massimo Donati. We'd signed some big players, but we also had like Kenny Miller, Magic Zarowski, Jan Venegor,
mm-hmm.
Tommy Gravesen, Nakamura, some massive players, Yuri Arisic. And it wasn't like, it was fine. I didn't mind going under the radar, but it was like, oh, well, you're just another one that's been brought in as a squad player, so to speak. You know, they've already signed, you know, Derek Reardon, who they thought might play but didn't. Obviously, Chris Killen come along. You were just another one of them ones where every now and again you'll get a game and you'll do a job. But obviously, I proved that wrong early doors. I think I quite impressed the management and the staff. We went to Switzerland on pre-season. Actually, I was quite fit, actually. I was actually one of the ones at the front. I wasn't next year, I can tell you that. But I had too much of a good off-season the following year. But the first season, obviously, you're just raring to go and wanting to impress. And I was quite fortunate in terms of that I was ready, I was fit. And, you know, you would just run through brick walls at that point because it's the happiest I've ever been, I think. I think all my Christmases come at once. As soon as you walk through the doors, your smile was from ear to ear. You're like a joker in terms of, like, it doesn't matter. Nothing can get better than this. This is just amazing. But I wasn't just settling for that. I wanted to actually make a name for myself. And thankfully, you know, everything particularly went really, really well. I think it helped in terms of that there was a lot of speculation with Kenny Miller at the time, maybe leaving the football club. Because I remember I'd made my debut because I'd missed the first couple of games. I was suspended I'd got a red card at Motherwell at the back end of the season beforehand. So that was a gutter because I was thinking, oh, fuck me, I'm going
to
miss the first two games.
You wanted to get them running, didn't you?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, the boys are going to be in and they're going to be scoring goals aplenty. I'm going to be in trouble here. But the first game, drew 0-0 with Kilmarnock at home. So I was like, rubbing my hands together going, this is fucking great. Couldn't get any better than this, could it?
Uh-huh.
Right? And we went to Spartak. I got the nod. Managed to set up Paul Hartley's goal with a cross. He scored from a header. We won 1-0 at Spartak. Great night. And then we come back and we played at Pittodrie. And that was my first start in the league itself. And I fucking missed an absolute sitter. And I was like, oh, I was pure gutted because I knew that was my chance.
Uh-huh.
So after about 70 minutes or so, I get the old fish hook, right, you're off. Did okay. Kenny Miller comes on, goes bang, bang. He scores two in like 5 minutes.
So I'm sitting
I'm sitting there going like, fuck, that's me. I'm going to be sitting here for a wee while.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, and Kenny was just coming into form as well. And Kenny was great to play with. Even for the short space of time that we were together, he was really, really good to me. And I actually enjoyed playing with him. It was a shame that I didn't get more of a chance to actually play with him. But obviously I struck off an amazing partnership with Jan, and it was fantastic, great guy. Absolute gent, proper target man. And I've got to be honest, they ask you the best striker you've played with. He would definitely be.
He was a great player, wasn't he?
He would definitely be the best striker I've ever played with. And just his thought process and his awareness around him and how he dragged defenders.
Sniff it a goal as well.
Yeah, but I've got to give big credit as well to a guy called Jim Hamilton as well. You know, when I was at Motherwell with Jim, he was an amazing target man for me as well. You know, for what he lacked in pace, he certainly, you know, made up for in his physical stature and
mm-hmm.
you know, his ability in the air and
like the Scottish Niall Quinn, wasn't he?
Yeah, uh-huh. And the scorer of great goals as well. Uh-huh. Some goals he scored, and we we linked up ever so well, and obviously having that relationship with him probably helped me move to the next one with Jan, because you had a similar type of, you know, statured type of player to play with, and it was fantastic times. And obviously once Kenny had left, I think more or less it gave me a release as well to go, right, well, this position more or less could be mine, because Magic's sort of on the outer as well. The gaffer's not really feeling him at the minute. This is the time to shine. And I managed to score in my first goal for Celtic in the next leg of the second leg of the Spartak game. And I never looked back. It was amazing. It was an amazing period.
So you come in from Motherwell at Celtic. Obviously, you've came from Motherwell, and you've got like Gravesen coming from Milan and Donati from Madrid. Donati from Milan. How big was the jump in standard from Motherwell up to Celtic? Because Nakan, that was caviar, wasn't it?
It was massive, but it sounds embarrassing, but I felt I was up there. Uh-huh. I felt I could reach that standard. Uh-huh. But it wasn't that you were as good as them, but you had the intelligence and the nous to play with players like that, because they were going to make you better. Uh-huh. So my mindset all along was that, fuck me, if I can score 15, 16 goals at Motherwell, what am I going to score here?
You've got Naka sticking on you.
Well, I've got these players playing with me. Uh-huh. So,
and Aiden.
And the thing is that I think a lot of players find hard when they play, especially centre forwards, and we've seen them come and go even since I've been at football club and well before me, is the fact of that at times when you've got such special players around you, I learned to simplify my game. Because at Motherwell, I was asked to do a lot more in terms of, because you had to, to create your own goals and you know, drop probably deeper. When I first went to Celtic, all I thought about was giving the ball to Naka, giving the ball to Aiden, just giving it to someone else. Giving it to someone else and getting in the box. Yeah. You know, and your confidence grows with every goal you score as well. So in terms of my individual game, that sort of went out the window a little bit. I just was more or less, I'm going to be judged on goals, so I might as well just go and score goals, never mind the rest of it. But it wasn't until the second year I started to develop more outside the box, you know, because Gordon was wanting more. And in terms of that, I improved vastly the outside game, you know, of my game particularly.
How did you develop that? Was it Gordon's coaching that?
Yeah, Gordon's. Well, you know yourself, like Gordon's coaching is tremendous. I loved every minute. Look, you've interviewed other people that everyone has different sides and different views. And you'll ask me about another guy, and I have a different view about him as well. So, as individuals, you have different mindsets of what's good for you. But even now, looking back, and what Gordon was really good with was with wide men and with strikers, because we always played with two up, you know, majority, especially in the league itself. And the types of sessions that you know that he put on for midfielders and strikers was an absolute joy. And it was just every day, wasn't it? Every day you would work.
I'd always be the one that was ruining the thing.
Or he'd probably tell you that. Stop.
What you doing?
What the fuck you did?
That's not it. I've heard that a few times.
Or when you were doing the... Did he ever make you feel really nervous when you were doing the old hurdles?
Oh, the hurdles, yeah.
Do you remember just the old hurdles?
What are you doing? No.
Stop. Oh, fuck. He's not stopping it for me, is he? Oh, fuck. Because him and Pendo, wasn't it? Jump over. Outside the foot. Jump over. Outside. You're doing it fucking wrong. He even did that at Southampton. And obviously, Gordon was a great manager of authority, in terms of he didn't need to say much. He could strike you down in a sentence.
He really tests your character all the time, didn't he?
100%. He was always about that. And I think more than most, and I know that the things were with Aiden, you know, they had very similar sort of attributes in terms of their attitudes, and they wouldn't back down from each other at times, which was great to watch, got to be honest. But and I had my moments as well with Gordon, because I've got that within me as well. But he was still very good for all the attack-minded players. But what the one thing he required from his players was hard work rate, trust. He had, and I still to this day believe that that's one of the key elements of his teams, is that if you're playing in his 11, you have to be a player that's going to work hard for him and work hard for the team, and someone that he can trust to do output what he wants, you know, out there on the pitch itself. Uh-huh. If he has one little bit of self-element of doubt within him that you can't, then you don't play, or you're not in his squads. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. And that sounds a bit, oh, well, but that's just the way it's always been inbuilt. And I don't know if that was the way it was when he played, but that's his belief. And a lot of that model sort of rubbed off into that group of players as well, in terms of our expectations and what we felt was right and what was wrong, even when we left the football club. But sometimes different football clubs have different ideas and different involvements. So you have to be more aware of that as well. Football's a great game in terms of there's so many opinions within the game itself, and there's no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. But you have to have that open-mindedness that you can accept other people's opinions or ideas as well and take it on board and maybe just nitpick from that one and pick from that one and pick from that one and get the best elements out of it. And sort of later on now, that's what I've started to learn a little bit more, whereas at that point at Celtic, there was only one thing on my mind, and that was do the best for obviously me, which would mean Celtic do well as well. Obviously, you wanted to do well for Celtic. You wanted to win titles, trophies. That's what you were judged upon. Uh-huh. But obviously, scoring goals was massive as well, because if you didn't score goals straight away, there was always question marks. So you needed to do that, and that was purely the focus at that point.